هرين. هاري كريشنا. Start. So we go to Dwarka today. In Dwarka, Lord Shri Krishna resides as Dwarkadish, the Lord of Dwarka. And every day in the morning, he would go to the assembly house, sit on the royal throne, the throne of the king, and all his ministers, commanders, and senior citizens means those who were involved in administration and all, they would be assembled there. Now, at any time of the day, if you happen to go to the assembly house, any time of the day, you will see everybody in the assembly is laughing. The ministers, the citizens, the commander, the bodyguards, the army people, Krishna's personal servants, they are all laughing. Why? Because Krishna tells a joke sitting on the royal throne, and they all laugh. After that, Krishna tells the next joke, then they all laugh. Like that, till evening they do that, then they go back to their houses. Because in Dwarka, Krishna has nothing to do. The whole king's job is to solve problems, take care of the citizens, work for the city. But there are no problems in Dwarka. No worry, no criminals, no judges to be given, no taxation issues, no infrastructure issues. So Krishna has nothing to do there. But still, as a duty, he comes to his office. And he cracks jokes, everybody laughs, and that is how the whole day passes. That's Dwarka. That's Krishna, who has nothing to do. There was one foreigner, resident outside India. He came to our temple, ISKCON Jew, and Guru Puja going on, he came. He saw beautiful Radha Ras Bihari, Radha Krishna deities, and immediately he shouted with his finger towards Krishna, "This is God." So we all know he is God, but why he is exclaiming this? So he was asked. He said, "Look, I came to India because I heard this is land of God. And I went to many temples. In some temples, God is taking a trident and meditating. In another temple, Devi, Goddess, is sitting on a lion and killing a demon. In another, somebody is taking a bow and arrow and standing. Everywhere I saw, whoever deity was there doing some work, doing something. This is God I saw, who not doing anything, only playing flute. So according to me, this is God, because God should not be doing anything." And that's true. God means one who is supreme controller. All energies are there to work for him. He doesn't have to personally do anything. If at all he does personally, that's his pastime, to interact with his devotees. So one day in Dwarka, Krishna sitting in the assembly, suddenly the citizens, they found an amazing visitor. They found a man who had minimum thousands of eyes on his body. And he came on a white elephant, and that elephant had so many tusks, not one, two, three, four, many, many tusks, dozens of tusks. So citizens were surprised. You don't get to see a white elephant, and that too a white elephant so big, as if touching the sky, having so many tusks. And then you don't get to see a person with more than two eyes, not just 3, 4, thousands of eyes all over the body. So the citizens were curious, what is happening in Dwarka? So they all followed this gentleman, and he came inside the assembly. And as soon as he came, he paid full dandavat pranam to Dwarkadish, with his head on the floor, on the ground, full dandavat pranam. His golden helmet was so dazzling. And who was this? Indra. And the elephant is Airavat. Indra has thousands of eyes on his body. So those who understood, he said, Indra, the king of heaven, Swarga, coming and paying dandavat to Dwarkadish. That's interesting. So Dwarkadish welcomed Indra. Indra Dev said, please have a seat. What brings you here? He said, my dear Dwarkadish, we have a problem in Indraloka, in heavenly planets. And I was told by Lord Brahma, only you can solve this. So he said, what happened? He said, there is a demon, Bhaumasur, very powerful. And he has created a big problem there. I have my Shakti, thunderbolt. Indra's weapon is thunderbolt, Vajra. And Indra's weapon is such that if there is a very big mountain and Indra's weapon touches it, it will become flat ground. So powerful is Indra's weapon. So with my army and with my thunderbolt, I attacked this Bhaumasur. But somehow I saved my life. I was defeated. Because he has a Trishul, trident, such a powerful, if he throws that, it goes in straight line, kills hundreds of soldiers and comes back to him. In front of his trident, his Shakti, my thunderbolt is failed. So now what he has done is, he has forcibly stolen earrings of my mother. Mother Aditi is Indra's mother. And she has a very beautiful golden earrings with diamonds and pearls. So he stole mother's earrings. Then he stole Varundev's umbrella. Varundev sits on a throne, and behind his throne there is a white umbrella with all pearls on the frill, on the boundary. And that umbrella is very powerful. He stole that. And then he has taken a big garden of Indraloka. Big garden of Indraloka. And his staff is there and we can't enter. So he has stolen land, he has stolen umbrella, he has stolen earrings, he has defeated our army, and our weapons are useless in front of him. And we don't know what we'll do next. He's harassing us. So I have come to request you, my dear Lord, please help us defeat him. Dwarkadish. So Dwarkadish said, okay, I will do the needful. And Indra left. Then Dwarkadish got ready to go and fight with Bhaumasur, also called as Narkasur. Now, a very interesting point is, when you are going to fight a formidable enemy, what all you will carry and with whom you will go?
Chariot,
protection,
armor,
armors,
weapons, army, horses, elephants, or guns, tanks, you know, all these things. Dwarkadish, he went to Satyabhama, said, chalo, we'll go. He took Satyabhama with him. Now, going to fight and going taking a beloved wife doesn't make sense. But he went with Satyabhama, come with me. We'll go for a picnic, we'll go for a ride. And they both sat on Garuda, no army, no chariot, no armor, no tanks, no guns. Of course, his Sudarshan Chakra, his bow and arrow is always with him, club, sword, and they went. There is a very deep reason why he took Satyabhama. We will discuss that. Generally, wife thinks husband don't do any work, not much, we do more. Husband thinks wife don't do anything, sitting all day in the house, we do. So Krishna only told Satyabhama, look how much work we do. So he took her. They straight went to Prayag Jyotishpur. Prayag Jyotishpur is the palace of Bhaumasur. Not palace, it's a fort. Not fort, it is such a formidable city that nobody can enter. Bhaumasur would stay in the center of the city, and the city was surrounded by very great security. There are 5 layers of security. Even modern White House or Parliament or VIPs would not be having such a great security. The first layer was a very thick wall. And in all the 4 directions of the wall, there were automatic weapons, which will not require any user. They will sense the enemy and shoot. Automatic weapons at that time. Full thick wall with automatic weapons. And behind that wall was a big army. If anybody breaks the wall also, the army will kill. Behind that wall and army, there was a water canal. Not easy to pass. Very deep water canal. At the edge of the water canal, there was an electric wire. Electric wire, high voltage electric wire. You touch and you are finished, you are burnt. Even if lakhs of army come, the wire will burn. Behind that electric wire was anila. It's a gas. Gaseous substance. Poisonous gas. If you enter that area, you will die. Cannot breathe. Behind that, there was a very strong, powerful barbed wire. And then Narkasur would stay in between. Such a was a security arrangement which challenges even modern security arrangements. Modern VIPs don't have such security arrangements. They call it Z-security. But that's not like this. This is triple Z. This is too much. So when Krishna came alone, Krishna, he destroyed these 5 security arrangements in 1 second. No, half a second. With his club, he broke the walls. With his arrows, he killed the army. With his Sudarshan Chakra, he cut the electric wire, he cut the anila gas, and he cut the barbed wire. Within hardly half a second, he did all this. That's God. That's Krishna. So powerful. So when he did all this, very huge noise happened. When people were getting killed, when wires were getting cut, and when gas was getting neutralized, and when the whole stones and walls were getting broken with club, big noise happened. So there was one more hidden security. Inside the canal, inside the water, there was Moor demon. You heard of Moor demon? You heard of Murari? Krishna's name is Murari. Murari means Moor is name of demon. Murari means Krishna who killed Moor. Or Krishna who is enemy of Moor. Ari means enemy. Murari, enemy of Moor. M-U-R-A. Enemy of Moor, Murari. That's Krishna's one of the name. Murari. So this Moor demon would stay inside water. And he had 5 heads. And in any war, when he would go, his first weapon would be to shout with his 5 heads, to scream on top of his lungs. Many of the soldiers will get heart attack just by hearing his sound. Whole planet will reverberate with his sound. So powerful was his shout, call. So when Moor demon heard all this, wreckage happening, all this disaster happening, very angrily he came out of the canal, water canal. And what he sees in front of him? All devastation. And in the sky there is Garuda and Krishna and Satyabhama. He thought this Garuda is responsible for all this devastation, big bird. Krishna, Satyabhama, compared to the size of Garuda, was small. Garuda was very big. He thought that Garuda is doing all this nonsense. He took a trident, very powerful trident, and he shot at Garuda. Krishna with his bow and arrow, Krishna shot two arrows simultaneously and made the trident cut into three pieces. The trident couldn't touch Garuda. So Mur became very angry. My weapon is defeated, my weapon is nullified. So he attacked Krishna with his club, with his powerful club. But Krishna with his own club broke his club. And Mur understood weapons will not work here. So he wanted to kill Krishna with his fist, with his hand, punches, very powerful demon. But Krishna didn't give him a chance. With his Sudarshan Chakra, he cut his five heads and he fell back on the same water canal from where he had come. Murari killed Mura, killed Mur demon. So when Mur was killed, he had seven sons, seven powerful asuras. They became very angry. They went to Narkasur. He said, we want to take revenge of our father's death. Narkasur said, take this Pitha Asur. He is very big commander. Take my full army and you attack that person, whoever killed your father. So they came out with seven chariots, seven sons, and Pitha in the front as a commander, and very big army with chariots, horses, elephants. And when they saw Garuda and Krishna, they all attacked Krishna simultaneously. Simultaneously they all threw sword, lances, spears, clubs, arrows. Simultaneously millions threw on Krishna. Missiles. Krishna is so fast. Krishna picked up his bow and arrow, and with his arrow he pierced every single soldier, and he cut all the weapons which were to reach him. Sukhdev Goswami explains that the army threw the weapons and the weapons were in the sky. What Krishna did? He didn't neutralize the weapons first. He shot arrows and hit all the army first. They all got killed. Weapons are still in the sky. Then he shot his arrows and neutralized the weapons. That means Krishna was so fast. So fast, he would pick up an arrow, put it on the bow, pull the string and shoot it. These four things he would do simultaneously. At any time if you see Krishna fighting, you will not be able to tell this is what he is doing now. It will be simultaneous, four things. So he shot arrows and killed the whole army, killed the seven sons of Mur, killed Pitha and neutralized all their weapons. So when such a big failure happened, Narkasur became very angry. And Narkasur had a very powerful army of elephants, very big elephants, who would be mad. Mada, liquid would ooze from their head. And they would trample any opposing army. So Narkasur came out on his chariot with very big elephants. Many elephants. And when he came, he saw in the sky Garuda, Krishna, Satyabhama. It was as if Garuda was looking like a sun, Krishna was looking like a black cloud, and Satyabhama was looking like golden lightning. This is a very beautiful scene when you see there is sun, there is cloud and there is golden lightning. So even Narkasur would appreciate the beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna's form is so beautiful. As we know, in Vrindavan, the peacocks, the deers, the waters of Yamuna, the creepers, the plants, the gopis, the gopas, Nand Baba, Yashoda Maya, cowherd men, elderly gopis, they would all appreciate Krishna's beautiful Shyam Sundar form. The apsaras, the demigods, the gandharvas, the devis, they will also appreciate Krishna's beautiful form. He is so beautiful, with nice lotus petal-like eyes, curved eyebrows, and reddish lips, white pearl-like teeth, mirror-like cheeks, moon-like face, curly hair, broad chest, thin waist, yellow dhoti, peacock feather, beautiful flute, nice crown or pagadi, what we call, and nice earrings, bangles, vajanti garland, beautiful flowers, and lotus feet. Krishna is so beautiful. So even demon like Narkasur, during the war, at one moment, he saw, oh, such a beautiful sight. Black Shyam Sundar with golden Satyabhama. He appreciated it. But then he had his trident, his famous popular trident, which Indra was afraid of. He shot that trident at Krishna. And Krishna, with his bow and arrow, he defiled that trident. And with his further bow and arrow, he killed all the army of Narkasur. And Garuda, he would fly. And with his beaks, and with his talons, nails, he would hit the elephants. So much so, the elephants were so much disturbed by Garuda, that they all took U-turn, started fighting among themselves, and went. And all the army was finished. Narkasura was alone standing, with all the dead bodies of the elephants, and the soldiers like an ocean in front of him. So Narkasura thought, this Garuda is too much. Because of Garuda, I am getting defeated. So he took another trident and shot at Garuda. Very forcibly. And Garuda got hit. Garuda thought, some flower is there. That's Garuda. If you throw a lotus flower at an elephant, the elephant doesn't feel anything. That's what Garuda felt. Garuda is very powerful. So he saw Garuda is formidable, cannot do anything. I'll make a last try. He took a trident, powerful trident, blazing trident. Last try, he hit Krishna. As he was about to hit Krishna, Satyabhama, who is sitting on Garuda and watching the scene, she got little terrified that now Narkasur will kill my husband. So she shouted, kill him, kill him! And then Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra killed Narkasur. Now there is a story behind this. Narkasur is son of Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi. And we should recall, Bhumi Devi is the one who went to Brahmaji, the first chapter of 10th Canto. That, my dear Brahmaji, there is burden on earth planet, please do something. There are lots of asuras, there are lots of kings who have become demons. They are killing the citizens, harassing the citizens, very violent. So Brahmaji, he prayed to Narayan at Shvetadvip with all the demigods. And Narayan responded, Vishnu responded, that Krishna is going to come and take incarnation. He is going to kill all the demons. All the demigods should go and take birth in Mathura and around areas so that they can assist in the mission. So everybody was happy. But then Bhumi Devi got worried. He said, Krishna is going to kill all the asuras? One of my son is asura, Krishna will kill him also. So she started praying to Krishna. And Krishna said, what do you want? He said, my dear Lord, I know you are coming, your mission is to kill asuras. I request you don't kill my son. Krishna said, how that is possible? I am coming to kill asuras, so I'll kill all the asuras. I'll not do half job, do full job. Said, no, please don't kill my son. Krishna said, that's not possible. But one benediction I give you. I will not kill your son till you don't tell me. Bhumi Devi said, yes, fine, I will never tell you, no problem. This Bhumi Devi is expansion of Satyabhama. So the original Bhumi Devi is Satyabhama. So Krishna took Satyabhama with him, knowing well that in the heat of the battle, she will say kill and I will kill, so I will be safe. So Krishna took Satyabhama, and in the heat of the battle, Satyabhama will kill him. Because husband is there. Husband is first. What is Asura is first. So Krishna killed Narkasur. So when Narkasur died, immediately Bhumi Devi appeared there with a very nice Vaijanti garland. Vaijanti garland is monopoly of Krishna among all personalities. Krishna wears every day, always, Vaijanti garland. Vaijanti garland is that garland which is made up of 5 different colors of flowers. 5 different colors of flowers is Vaijanti garland. 5 or more. So they offered nice Vaijanti garland to Krishna. She brought a jewelry box. It contained Aditi's, mother Aditi's earrings. She brought a big parcel that contained Varuna's umbrella. And she said this land also which Narkasur had encroached, that also she returns everything to Indra. And she offered so beautiful prayers to Krishna and brought one boy, Narkasur's son, Bhumi Devi's grandson, Bhagdat. And she told this son has seen what happened in the war, including the death of his father. He is in big shock. He is in big trauma. My dear Lord, he is very afraid. Please award him fearlessness. So Krishna kept his hand on the son. Said, don't worry. I am not going to kill you. Be fearless. You become the next king and take care of this kingdom. Then Krishna entered the palace of Narkasur. There was so much gold, so much jewels, so many diamonds, pearls, and there were 50 white elephants who were progeny of Airavat, who had 4 tusks, and they would be very fast moving, and so many weapons. Everything Krishna collected, sent to Dwarka. The loot of the war, everything he collected. Then Krishna saw in the palace there were 16,100 young girls whom Narkasura had kidnapped from various families. They were daughters of some demigods, some Rishi Munis, some Brahmanas, some mercantile people, some princes, king's daughters. They were all superbly beautiful, very young. And Narkasura had kidnapped and kept them all in one place and never gave them good food, never gave them good garments, and most important thing, never gave them good makeups amid material. So they were all dusty, their body was dust, never gave them bathing water and all. So there were old garments they were wearing, all dust was accumulated in their garland, sorry, body, on the garments, and no makeup, so they were little dull, the luster was not there, and all their hair was entangled, he didn't even give them a comb or something, and no food and drink, so they were very skinny, thin, and very always crying because they were kidnapped, and very, very sad. But when they saw Krishna, the 16,100 girls, when they saw Krishna entering, they simultaneously had only one thought in their heart: oh, this fellow should become my husband. So beautiful, Shyam Sundar. Krishna is really very beautiful. Shyam Sundar. Very black but beautiful. So Krishna told them, look, now you don't worry. Everything is fine. Narkasura is killed. Every single girl he offered nice new garments, new jewelry, nice mahaprasad, nice juice, water and ornaments and cosmetics, everything, and told them, you all give your address, I will send you back to your homes. Gentlemen. So all the girls with folded hands said, please don't send us back home. We have been kidnapped by Narkasur for so many months. Now if we go back home, nobody is going to accept us in marriage. Because people would say, no, no, you have been stayed with Narkasur for so many months, now we will not accept you. People will think Narkasur have touched your body, So the character may not be good. But actually Narakasura never touched them. Narakasura wanted to collect them for giving sacrifice. He wanted to sacrifice them. So there was no lusty activity there. So please don't send us to our home. And Krishna said, what should we do? They all said, my dear Lord, please accept us as your wives. Krishna said, okay. That's Krishna marrying 16,100 women. One shot. Nobody can do this. Anybody who has even once married, he cannot even think second. Even if it is legally allowed. Nobody, because the experience is enough. Krishna already had 8 wives by this pastime. You don't know Krishna's 8 wives? Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jamanti, Kalindi. Yamuna Kalindi same.
Lakshmana.
Mitravinda. Satya. Bhadra. 8. Rukmini, Jamanti, Satyabhama, Kalindi, Mitravinda, Satya, Lakshmana, Bhadra. 8 wives Krishna already had. And these 16,100 young girls, they approach Krishna for marriage. It is Kshatriya's duty that if a girl approaches for shelter, he should offer shelter. And these were all expansions of Lakshmi. They were meant to be married to Krishna, not anybody else. So Krishna immediately arranged 16,100 palanquins. Now arranging 16,100 palanquins is not an easy job. You have to arrange 4 people to carry it also. Right? So that means 65,000 people you have to arrange. And he sent them all to Dwarka. He said to them, look, I am going to Indraloka, then I will come and marry you. You be in Dwarka. So he sent them to Dwarka. Then straight on Garuda, Krishna went to Lord Indra. He told him, this is Narakasura killed. Good news, breaking news. This is Aditi's earrings. This is umbrella and your land you take. And Indra was so happy. He immediately left his own throne and he offered his throne to Krishna and Satyabhama, and they worshipped Krishna. They washed his lotus feet. They offered aarti. They gave him new garments, nice garland, nice ornaments, and thank and so much grateful to Krishna. And the matter was settled nicely. When Krishna was coming back from the palace of Indra, Satyabhama, she reminded Krishna. What had happened is long days back, once Narad Muni, he was coming from Indraloka, he came to Dwarka. And in heavenly planet there is one Parijat tree, whose flowers are small but have extremely fragrant. So he plucked that flower and came down and gave it to Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi was very happy. She took the flower, put it on her hairs. But the fragrance of that flower is so powerful, from Rukmini's palace it went to Satyabhama's palace. And Satyabhama got this fragrance, Parijat flower fragrance. She said, she asked her maid servant, what is this? She said, Rukmini got a Parijat flower. She said, I also want, she told Dwarkadish, I also want Parijat flower. How are you giving only to Rukmini, not to me? You know, co-wives have this pastimes. Krishna said, "Arey, darling, why are you wearing flower, what, I'll give you a full tree?" So Krishna took Satyabhama for shopping the tree. He took Satyabhama all the way to Indraloka. And then in the palace, in the garden of Indra, there was a Parija tree. Krishna told Satyabhama, take for yourself, this whole tree is yours. And she plucked the whole tree from the root, put it on Garuda, chalo, let's go. Now Sachi Mata, she is Indra's wife, she saw this, and as I told, you know, woman, little envious feeling is there. She said, how come she is picking my tree without asking me? She told Indra, said, what is happening Prabhu? Satyabhama picked up our tree without asking us, that too Parijat tree. That's not available in earthly planet, this is our monopoly, only available in Indraloka. Please stop her. Now Indra said, अरे ही जस्ट प्रोटेक्टेड अस फ्रॉम नरकासुर, ही जस्ट किल नरकासुर, ही गेव बैक द इयररिंग्स, ही गेव बैक द लैंड, ही गेव बैक द अम्ब्रेला. बट सच्ची से नो नथिंग डूइंग, यू स्टॉप हर. एंड आउट ऑफ हिज अटैचमेंट टू हिज वाइफ, इंदिरा गॉट अ फुल आर्मी स्टैंडिंग इन फ्रंट ऑफ कृष्णा. व्हाई डिड यू टेक पारिजात ट्री? दिस इज इंदिरा. Very wonderful, adventurous personality. But Krishna's wife is in front. Krishna also attached to his wife. There was a big fight between Indra's army and Krishna. And you know what happened. Indra was defeated. Krishna defeated whole Indra's army just for his wife. Just for one tree. And after Indra was defeated, Krishna came back down. And Satyabhama took that Parijat tree and planted in his own garden. And the smell was so heavy, so fragrance was so nice. Even the birds and the bees of heavenly planets, they started coming down to take the honey from that trees, to take the honey from that flowers. The fragrance was so much from earth planet, it will go to heavenly planets. So then here, there were 16,100 girls waiting for Krishna. So Krishna called his pandit, astrologer. He said, tell me one nice murta to marry. Now he has to give 16,100 murtas. He said, my dear lord, immediately now is a very good murta. So you marry all of them together. So immediately Krishna arranged 16,100 mandaps. One dulhan. One bride in each pandal, in each mandap. Then Krishna, from one, he became 16,100 forms. And he entered into each mandap to marry every single girl. Now what about Devaki and Vasudev? Which marriage they will attend? It's a big confusion. So they told Krishna, we want to attend all the marriages. So Krishna arranged 16,100 expansions of Devaki, 16,100 expansions of Vasudev. They also sat with Krishna in the fire sacrifice. But then what about Dwarkavasis? They wanted to eat feast of all the marriages. So every single Dwarkavasi Krishna arranged to expand into 16,100. And all the Dwarkavasis attended each of the marriage and had each of the feast. Proper marriage, 16,100 marriage. That's Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Krishna immediately arranged 16,100 palaces. Not that all were crowded in one simple palace or 16,000 rooms of one palace. He gave one palace to each of the queens. And Krishna would expand himself into 16,108 forms every day. And he will enter all the palaces in the evening. It is not that Krishna will go to one palace one day and next palace next day and your number will come after 16,108 days. That means I don't know how many years whole life will go. No, he would meet everybody each day. And in each palace if you go, Krishna will be doing a different activity. It was not 16,108 TV boxes all running same serial. In each palace, Krishna would be doing a different activity. That is his individuality in his expansions. And he behaved with his queens as a normal householder. As a normal husband and wife, they will joke, they will quarrel, they will talk lovingly. And each and every queen, they were Dwarka queens, very, very opulent, Lakshmis. Each and every queen had thousands of maid servants with them. And each maid servant would be decorated very nicely with golden ornaments and silken saris and everything. But still each queen will serve Krishna as their maid servant. Each queen will think, I am maid servant of this house. She will personally cook for Krishna. Even Rukmini Devi, she will personally cook for Krishna. Not tell Krishna, look, food is kept in the fridge. You heat it and eat when you want. She will personally feed Krishna in golden plates. Personally help Krishna to take bath, personally comb Krishna's hair. Krishna is relaxing, personally fan him and personally massage his feet and take care of the house. You know, in Vaikuntha, when sometimes Vishnu goes for a walk in the garden, So when he's coming back from the walk, all the Lakshmis in the palace, from far they see Vishnu is coming back to the palace after the walk. Immediately they start brooming and dusting the house, even though there is no dust in Vaikuntha. But they start doing this menial activity, so that Vishnu sees us that we are doing some seva for him and he is pleased with us. These are Lakshmis. People run behind Lakshmis. People want the mercy of Lakshmis. But this Lakshmis act as maid servant of Krishna. So a person should not run behind wealth. A person should not run behind opulence. A person should just serve Krishna. By serving Krishna, even our material needs are fulfilled. By serving Krishna, our material desires are also fulfilled. By serving Krishna, we get the most best perfection which can be achieved in this world. So we should exclusively engage and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. It is so many lifetimes. We have taken multiple births in multiple species, and in every lifetime we have tried to do sense enjoyment. Which means in every lifetime we have tried that our senses come in contact with sense objects. This life, today, we have got an opportunity to hear about Krishna, to pay obeisances to Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna. So this life we should be very serious and dedicate our life to Krishna. No more sense gratification, no more fruitive activities, no more trying to gather opulence and wealth for ourselves, but giving our time, our energy in the service of Krishna. From morning to evening, getting up early morning, attending Mangala Arati, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Japa, attending Guru Puja, hearing class, having prasadam, serving the Lord, doing evening aarti, preaching, doing book distribution. In that way our whole day should go. We should mold our whole day in such a way that we are somehow and or other connected to Krishna. If a person lives seriously life like that, with devotional service, engagement in devotional service 24 hours or maximum in the day, then eventually he achieves Krishna, he goes back home, back to Godhead. But if we don't do proper serious commitment in devotional service, we are not determined to do, then one more birth. Then again lower species, or even if human species, we don't know where we will take birth, we don't know in that birth whether we will choose to be in association of devotees, whether we will choose to serve Krishna, or Maya will catch us, we don't know. The future will be damaging. So this life, where we have got opportunity, where we have got special mercy of Krishna, we should dedicate our life. That Krishna is my master and I will only serve Krishna. What is the use of opulence? See, Indra, he is so opulent, mode of goodness, but he ended up fighting with Krishna for one parijat tree. Whom does that parijat tree belong to? Krishna. The whole Indra Loka belongs to Krishna. Indra gets his authority to become Indra from Krishna. Indra gets his position from Krishna. Indra gets his power from Krishna. And Krishna just saved him from Narakasura and gave back his gifts, his things. And Indra cannot handle one tree. So much attachment. This is useless. To be rich, to be opulent, is useless if we are not humble enough to offer everything to Krishna. Whatever we have, whatever we possess, whatever we think is mine, is not mine. It belongs to Krishna. And at the time of death, anyway, is going to go away from me. But before death, if I offer to Krishna, I will get benefit of devotional service. Just think over this. You may have thousands of dollars in your pocket. And if you die tomorrow, what will happen to $1,000? You don't know. But before you die, if you offer it to Gauranithai, you will get the benefit of devotional service. That object which belongs to Krishna, which anyways doesn't belong to you, which anyways is going to be taken away from you at the time of death, before death if you offer back to Krishna, we get benefit of seva. We get benefit of devotional service. So our body, our mind, our words, our possessions, everything should be offered to Krishna. And when we offer to Krishna, we are not a loser. You know that pastime once in Vrindavan, outside Krishna's house, one fruit vendor Mataji came, one lady who was distributing fruits. And Krishna, who saw his father Nanda Baba once exchanging grains and fruits, he gave grains and the vendor gave fruits. So little Krishna, he thought, I will also do this, my father did. So he ran in the godown in the storehouse and he picked up some grains in his small palm and he ran back outside to the lady, but he couldn't hold the grains properly. So all the grains, most of the grains fell from the gap of the fingers. So when he reached to the lady, only 4 or 5 grains were there. So Lala became very sad. Krishna is called Lala, as a small bird. He became very sad that, oh, all the grains fell, now I will not get fruits. But when the lady saw such a beautiful boy, she became captivated with the beauty. She said, Lala, these grains are sufficient. And she gave so many fruits. Krishna's both hands were full. He gave small grains which came in one palm, but he got fruits which filled both of the hands. And Krishna was very happy that I did a better barter than my father. I got more fruits in small grains. And the lady, when she took her basket, she saw there were no fruits. They all became jewels. They all became diamonds. They all became gold. So just by offering few fruits to Krishna, she got so much material benefit. And more than that, she got darshan of Krishna. She did seva to Krishna. So then there is part two of the pastime, how Krishna took the fruits back. So we are not a loser when we serve Krishna. Bali Maharaj, he had all the three worlds and he offered to Krishna. He was not a loser. Even today he is king of Sutal Loka, which is more opulent than Indra Loka. And Krishna, as Vamandev, is personally guarding his palace. Daily is getting darshan of Krishna. Mahajan, pure devotee. So anytime we offer to Krishna, we are not at the loser. So we should serve Krishna, we should offer our life to Krishna. That, my dear Lord, I am yours. It's very simple. Surrendering to Krishna is very simple, it's not complicated. You go to Gornitai, you go to Krishna, fold your hands, say, my dear Lord, I am yours. That's all, he will accept you. He will not see your qualification, your biodata, your skills, your talents, your education, your mark sheet. He will just accept. A sincere soul has come. Vibhishan, he is Ravana's brother. And Ram was about to start a war with Ravana. And Vibhishan came from Ravana's area and came and surrendered to Lord Ram. Everybody around Ram said, don't accept him. He is brother of the enemy. He may give trouble. He may be a spy. He may be having some strategy. Lord Ram says, no, I will accept Vibhishan. Why? Because he has taken shelter of my feet. Forget Vibhishan. Even if Ravana come here and says, I am yours, I will accept him. That's Lord Ram. That's Lord Krishna. The more we are eager, much, much higher Krishna is eager that we go back home, back to God. So even small service we do, Krishna amplifies this, magnifies it. Yeah, this devotee is doing nice service. Kubja, there was a lady Kubja who was hunchback in Mathura. She was ugly and not walking properly. She was bent at her back. And she would apply chandan daily to Kams. She would make chandan and give to Kams. So in Mathura suddenly she saw Krishna Balaram walking. And she thought, such a beautiful boy. And she, instead of applying the chandan to Kams, she applied chandan to Krishna. And Krishna became pleased by her small seva. And he took his finger, touched her knee, chin, and pulled by arresting her legs on his toes. And she became most beautiful and straight girl in the area. Why Krishna became pleased with her? Because she offered chandan. The chandan which was meant for Kams, she on the spot left her job, government job that also. Kubja was in government seva, Kamsa seva. On the spot she left her government job and offered chandan to Shyam Sundar, and she became the most beautiful girl and eventually achieved love for Krishna. So that's Krishna. Even little service done to him, he becomes very happy. So we don't have to do some big service. We should do. Even little we do, Krishna is very pleased. He is our master. He is our controller. He is our proprietor. So why we serve somebody else? Why we serve Maya? Why we serve our own senses? All this we have done so many lifetimes, but we have not got success. That's why we are still here, struggling, trying to survive. So this life, we should be very sincere, very serious, and give to Krishna. Which means we should get up early morning, take bath, do Mangalarti, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, do Guru Puja, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatam, offer prasadam to Krishna, cook for Krishna, do our day duties, evening do aarti, again read and hear, and sleep. That's all. That's life. Why to complicate it with so many ambitions, with so many desires? I want this, I want this, I want this. The list is never ending. Even if you think today, yes, this is last desire, it will never happen, it will become multiplied. So we should live a very simple life. As per our standard of living, whatever is simple life, should live a simple life, what we have brought up that life, and just serve Krishna. Chanting should be very nice, attentive, reading Bhagavatam, associating with devotees. So seriously we practice this, and Prabhupada assures us we will go back home, back to Godhead. No more birth. Otherwise, next life we don't know whether we become cockroach or elephant or lizard or insect or human, male, female, in Perth, in Melbourne, in Antarctica, in Arctic Circle, in India. We don't know where we will be born, which species will be born, and what we will do there. We don't know. Maya is so powerful. So this life, we should serve Krishna. Great sages and devotees like Sukadeva Goswami, when they have speaking this pastime to Parikshit Maharaj, they did not appreciate the way Indra behaved. Indra behaved very badly. Just for one Parijat tree, he went against Krishna. This is not the way of a devotee because of his attachments. Indra knows Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is so attached. Because of attachments, we don't go forward in Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Thakur told one very nice story. There was one bridegroom and party who were going for marriage to the another village. Early morning there was a Shubh Muhurat. So night, in the dark, they sat in the boat and told the boatman, please make sure we reach there early morning across the river because our marriage is there. And don't sleep. And they all sat and they all slept. Because next day was marriage. Morning when the sun was rising, they all woke up, they saw they were the same place where they started. They got very angry to the boatman. He said, why did you sleep? The boatman said, I didn't sleep. Whole night I was rowing, my hands are paining. He said, then why we are at the same place? Then they found out the rope, the anchor was not lifted. The rope which was tied on the shore to the boat, they didn't untie it. So he did so much hard work, but he didn't move forward. Why? Because the attachment was there. In the same way, we have attachments, we have ropes tied, and we are not moving forward then. So Prabhupada explained there are five attachments every person has. First, attachment to the body and people related to the body. That's called relatives. Second, attachment to the objects or the property. Related to body, we have many objects, our clothes, our cupboard, our car, our bike, whatever is there in our drawer. We don't like to throw anything from our drawer. Anybody seen, opens a drawer and throws things? No. Generally in India, I've seen houses, they do full house cleaning on Deepavali, Diwali day, before that. You know what they do? They open a drawer, remove all the items and put it in another drawer. Cleaning done. They don't throw anything. Cleaning means throwing dirty things. But we don't throw. We pick up a pin. This will be helpful somewhere next year. We pick up a tape, we say next Janmashtami this will be useful. We pick up a ornament, old, my daughter's marriage after 20 years I may use it. Another thing we pick up, somebody will use it. So finally we don't throw anything because of attachments. Attachment to the body, we do nice grooming of the body, sit in front of the mirror, hair should be nice, tilak should be very straight, parallel lines, shaved, nice clothes, everything. Attachment to the body, I should look nice. Attachment to relatives, family members, wife, children, husband, brother, sister, parents, neighbors, friends, objects. Then third is attachment to the country, Desh Bhakti, Mera Bharat Maan, or whatever, my Australia Maan. My country, I should love my country. If there's a match going on, football match or cricket match, then my country should win. Are sportsmanship means whoever plays well should win. No, even if my country doesn't play well, but they should win. Otherwise, I'll be unhappy. Then you're not a sportsman. Then you're sentimental attachment. Then attachment to Desh, the birth of the land of the birth. Then fourth is attachment to science, attachment to scientific theories. If scientists say something, yes, agreeable. Bhagavad Gita says, oh, wait a minute, let me think. And then attachment to religion, so-called religion we have made for ourselves. Hindu, Muslim, Christian, this is all religions we have made, man-made religions. So these are five attachments. Attachment to body and relatives, attachment to property and objects, attachment to the land of birth or nation, attachment to science, and attachment to religion. Unless these five attachments are cut, our boat is not going to go forward. How much hard work we do. So we have to move forward. So we have to cut these attachments and get attached to Krishna. Get attached to the holy name. Get attached to Krishna's pastimes. Get attached to progress in devotional service, the process of bhakti. Get attached to Bhagavatam. Get attached to deities. Get attached to our daily japa. Get attached to nice beautiful darshan. Get attached to our seva. These attachments are okay. So that we remove these unwanted attachments and we go forward in Krishna consciousness. So Indra's life is a teaching to us that we should not be attached so much to opulences in such a way that we are not able to serve Krishna. Whatever is favorable for our bhakti, we should accept. Whatever is unfavorable for our bhakti, we should reject. If it is profitable, if it is comfortable, if it is convenient, but unfavorable, we should reject. If it is a loss, if it is inconvenience, if it is discomfort, austere, but favorable, then I should accept it. Like coming for Mangala Arati. Comfortable? No. Convenient? No. Loss of sleep? Yes. Still I should come for Mangala Arati. Why? Because it is favorable. What is favorable? We should do. What is unfavorable? We should not do. Then Krishna will take care. If you are taking decision for progress of our bhakti, then there is no loss because Krishna will take care. And when Krishna takes care, there is nothing to be worried about. We don't depend on Krishna's care, so we are in anxiety. We keep worrying about today, about tomorrow, about future. If you have ever worried in life, please raise your hands if that worry has solved your problem. No, it has multiplied the problem. Worry, anxiety doesn't solve the problem. We should be peacefully executing Krishna consciousness with complete dependence on Krishna. So Indra and opulent, if opulence is not used properly, it can be a big obstacle in Krishna's service. So better to live a simple life where this pride will not develop. Such obstacles will not be there and we practice nice bhakti. So Indra's example is a very eye-opening. We should learn this. So in Dwarka, 16,108 palaces, Krishna would live with his wife as an ordinary householder and he taught us how to have a family life. From each wife, Krishna had 10 sons. So he had 1,61,080 sons. Daughters separate. And then they got married and they had grandsons. Krishna's own individual family was so big
that 35 lakh teachers were required just to teach the children at one point of time. Krishna's individual family was so big. Dwarka was so opulent. And all the devotees of Krishna, very peacefully they will execute Krishna consciousness. So this is the affluence of Dwarka. Shri Dwarka Dham ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. If there are any questions or comments, we will take. Yes.
Prabhuji, you mentioned about Narakasura appreciating the beauty of Krishna. I mean, would he have had some qualification to be able to appreciate? Because not everybody can appreciate, even though they see Krishna on earth. Not everyone could appreciate that he is.
Krishna is very beautiful, don't require qualification. The only thing you require is two eyes. Anybody who has eyes and sees Krishna, he will know what a beauty. Even Kaliya, when Krishna attacked Kaliya, Kaliya was very angry. And he came out to see who is attacking my house. And when he saw Krishna, he said, oh, who is this beautiful boy? But he was so angry, he attacked him. Even Kalyavan, when he surrounded Mathura with his 30 lakh soldiers, he surrounded Mathura city. And Krishna came out alone, single person, with four hands. Kalyavan sitting on his chariot, he said, oh, what a beautiful person. Once Krishna was walking in Dwarka. Now Dwarka pillars are made of big, big diamonds. So while walking, Krishna saw his own reflection in the diamond, acted as a mirror. And Krishna stopped. He said, oh, who is this beautiful boy? Krishna is so beautiful, he got attracted to his own reflection. That is his beauty. So Krishna's beauty, qualification not required. He got time to appreciate. But because he had anger and envy, so he attacked. Okay? Yes?
As you mentioned, the sons, like that many lakhs of sons, they got married. So they got married within Dwarka or like outside Dwarka?
Outside also.
So because that many people, that many girls they needed.
Obviously, there was a big population. How many people got killed in Mahabharata, you know, Mahabharata war? 640 lakh soldiers got killed. Imagine how much people must be there in the whole planet. These were only Kshatriyas who took part in the Mahabharata war. There were Brahmanas, there were Shudras, there were Vaishyas, and they all had wives, they had parents. The population was very big. It is unnecessary agenda now, that population explosion, too many people, not enough resources. That's not true. You look at Perth, do you think the resources are less? So much greenery is there, so much agriculture is possible. But now they make malls, they make theatres, they make cinema theatres, and they make stations and beer bars and this and this. So the agriculture land is lost. Roads. Earlier people would walk in bullock cart. Roads were not required, malls were not required, shops were not required. Airports and bus stations were not required, theatres were not required, restaurants were not required. So big land for agriculture. And earth also will give very big produce. So earth is capable to give 10 times more produce than today. If people are pious and doing agricultural activities, then rain will come and from rain, grain will come. So that's not difficult. Okay? Any more questions? Yes.
What is the, you said that the other side of the Venda story?
Okay, so after the lady gave so many fruits to Krishna and she left with a jewel basket, Krishna came to house with so many fruits and he went to Yashoda Maya. Maya saw so many fruits. She said, Lala, who gave you these fruits? Lala said that Mataji gave. She said, so many times I told you not to take from strangers. You know, mothers tell their children, don't take any foodstuff from stranger. So she took all the fruits. She didn't allow Lala to eat anything. And she put it in a basket. Then by the evening time, the basket was there. Now Maya thought, what to do with these fruits? So she called all her staff members, whoever were working in the house. And she gave one fruit to each staff member. Till night she was distributing, the basket was not getting empty only. So many fruits became. Every staff member she gave fruits. The next day morning when all the staff came back, everybody asked only one thing, do you have more fruits? Because they went home and cut the fruit and ate, they said, such a sweet fruit we have never eaten in our life. And one fruit was sufficient to feed the whole family. So just because Krishna touched that fruit, it became unlimited tasty, so sweet, so nutritious, and everybody was happy. So part two of this story. Then there's part three of this story. That lady, the fruit vendor, she took her basket and went home, her home. And she called all her family members, said, look what I got today. And everybody put their hands in the basket, some getting a ruby, some getting a pearl, red ruby, pink pearl, blue emerald, golden sapphire, golden necklace. This one, oh, I got a better jewel, I got a better jewel, I got a better jewel, I got a bigger one. The lady said, you all are wrong. I got the best jewel. I said, where? I saw him there. Krishna's face is more beautiful than any jewel in that basket. She said, you all missed the actual jewel. This is not the real jewel. The real wealth is not this dollar or gold. The real wealth is darshan of Krishna. So that was the actual jewel she got. Okay. Any more? Yeah.
One question about why there are different types of human beings, why there are different countries. Was it that 5,000 years ago when Krishna was there, are we the same part of the family that Krishna, could it be possible that Krishna's family is still here on this earth?
So I answer the questions in reverse.
Yes.
So at the end of the Dwapar Yuga, Krishna winded up his pastime and took all his family members back home, back to Godhead. Every single entity. So there is no line continuing. Everybody went back home, back to Godhead. And even though this whole planet earlier ages was ruled by one king, but still there were different types of peoples even at that time. Kalyavan came to attack Krishna, he was a Yavan. Yavan means he would stay outside the Vedic culture, he would eat meat and all. So when Parshuram attacked 21 times Kshatriyas, many of the Kshatriyas ran away, afraid of Parshuram. And they ran different parts of the planet and they started their own cities. And that is how many of the different colonies have come out. So they have some traces of Vedic culture, but they have some independent culture also obtained. So different classes of human beings are because of the influence of different modes of material nature. 4 lakh species of humans are there. This is all because there is different modes acting on individual. So much variety is there.
And the description is given by some people that some people are darker because they used to live in the sun, and some people are fairer because there was no sun. They were living in areas where there was no sun. Would that be correct?
That is circumstantially correct, but there are other causes to it also. Like more sinful people tend to be darker. But as of now, it's all mixed. We can't just define by that. When Prithu Maharaj was born from King Vena's body, before Prithu Maharaj, a dwarf person was born who was completely dark because all the sin of Vena was deposited in that person. It's like that. So that was earlier time. Now we can't say black is sin and white is not sin. That's not the point. We don't differentiate like that. We give Krishna consciousness to everybody. But because of different modes, different persons are being, different individual consciousness are being manifested. Okay? Yeah.
Prabhuji, what's the reference for the fact that Vasudeva and Devaki were expanded as well? Like, is that in the Krishna book?
It's Prabhupada gives, tells this in one lecture.
Okay.
And even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives this in his commentary.
What about Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? They didn't.
For the marriage? No, they didn't come. They would not like to leave Vrindavan. Nobody would like to leave Vrindavan. Nobody from Vrindavan would come to Dwarka to meet Krishna. They They want Krishna to come to Vrindavan and meet them. Okay? Krishna never showed anybody in the world that he loves Vrindavan Vasis too much. Because if he showed that, then all the asuras, the villains, they have a natural strategy to catch the family members of the hero and kidnap them. You know, that's how happens in theatres. So Krishna never exposed his love for Vrajvasis so that the demons don't go to Vrindavan and attack the Vrajvasis. They will attack Krishna in Mathura or Dwarka or somewhere else, but they will not go to Vrindavan. So he never put Vrindavan into risk. So as Vrajvasis would cry for Krishna, he would also cry for them. But he didn't put them into risk. Till all the demons are not killed, he decided not to go back to Vrindavan. Any more questions? Yes, Mataji.
Isn't it true that Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan?
It's only Vasudev Krishna who goes to Mathura. Yes. So in the manifest pastimes, Krishna goes to Mathura to kill comes. In unmanifest pastimes, Krishna is always present in Vrindavan. But still there is a pastime of separation, which is painful and which increases the intensity of love. So in unmanifest way, he is always there in Vrindavan with the Brajavasis. In the manifest pastime, they are crying for him, that increases the love. Okay? Yep.
I remember one part that when Krishna left the material world, the Arjuna took care of the ladies and the old people and Arjuna was fighting with a group of dacoits, and he can't even beat them. You know, I just wonder, what is the main reason?
This is to show that in the absence of Krishna, Arjuna has no power. So the power which Arjuna had to fight such a big war and so many soldiers was because Krishna was present with him. This is show that the source of power is Krishna, not my Gandiva or my training or my skills or my talent or my muscles. They are all useless in front of Krishna, in absence of Krishna. It's Krishna who is doing everything through me. This was to make Arjuna realize it. We all depend on ourselves, thinking we are capable. But actually our capability is zero. It's Krishna because of whom we are expressing any activity. He is the strength. So the sooner we realize, the better. So then we'll depend on him. Okay? Any more questions? Lendir, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
Sunday.
Tomorrow evening.